Society 13 Podcast Network. Redefining podcasts. Society-13.com.
I like to listen.
Welcome to Channel 9 of the STRY Radio Network, where stories live.
Before you listen to this podcast, be aware this show often uses very naughty language. If you don't like that, you shouldn't listen. Send your complaints to I Am a Whiny Baby with No Sense of Humor at nightstory.com or stop by the studio. I'll take you for a ride to a story of my choosing.
You rolling.
Oh my god, voice crack. Yay.
Oh, we are trying to do this while your voice is pretty. So, welcome to the ninth story. I am Jeanette Andromeda.
Sorry again because I breathed in the mic.
Welcome to the ninth story. I am Jeanette Andromeda.
And I am Immortal Alexander.
Immortal Alexander.
There needed to be more growl to that for some reason, so I added it. Welcome. This is our first episode without Dan Foytek.
That's right. We're flying by the seat of our pants.
So season five is Immortal and Andromeda together here taking over Ninth Story and taking you new places to galaxies far, far away. And we are going to start with YouTube. And more specifically, some filmmakers who have made one YouTube viral video that Alex will tell you a little bit more about, and we talked to them a little bit about that, about their sequel, which brought more of their own storytelling. Excuse me.
Yes, excuse you. It's a Star Wars character. It's fine. It's fine. It's a Star Wars character. It's like Mon Mothma.
Water story.
Or Admiral Ackbar.
It's a trap. So, we interviewed them about their storytelling, the storytelling that they've done with these particular videos, and a lot of filmmaking ended up in this. So, Alex, tell us about the main videos.
So, we got contacted by Cortland Gordon from Oddest of the Odd, and they created a short called PT in Real Life. And if you guys haven't heard about it, there's a video game called Silent Hill. And it's been around for a long time. It's part of the survival horror genre, big time in video games, one of the earlier survival horror games in video game culture. And PT stands for Playable Trailer. So Hideo Kojima and Kojima Productions and Konami started to produce a movie game thing called Silent Hills. It's a video game. I'm sorry. I'm like really sleepy. So they were creating a video game a new video game called Silent Hills, which had Norman Reedus in it from The Walking Dead, and it was co-created with Guillermo del Toro, the filmmaker, and it was a project they were working on together. And then all of a sudden, it just got canceled. So this playable trailer was on PlayStation and Xbox and all that, and then it just disappeared. And what really sent people through the roof about it was that it was this really creepy, atmospheric first-person horror game where you were walking through this house and it was looping over and over again, and you really didn't know what was going on, and there was this radio playing in the back about this murder, and it's just really creepy and atmospheric, and there's these weird sounds, and then the guy gets into this bathroom door that finally kind of creaks open on its own, and he goes in there and he gets locked in and hears this weird crying sound, and there's this weird chicken fetus baby bloody and everything in the sink, and it's creepy, and there's this creepy woman dressed in black, and you know, I said you're walking through the house and all these things keep changing, and numbers and things on the wall and messages, and then all of a sudden the voice on the radio starts talking to you directly, and you don't know if your character is going insane. And it's just, as a piece of horror in general, it's just so effective and atmospheric. So when the project got canceled, everybody just lost their collective minds. And these guys from Oddest of the Odd decided to make a live action version of that. And it blew up everywhere. All the biggest gaming news outlets, everybody, you know, was putting it out there. IGN and you know, everybody was just putting it out there, and it was just amazing.
It effectively went viral, which is the dream as far as like being an internet creator goes. But you know, we all hope for it, but a lot of us are realistic enough to not expect it. But when it does happen, like for Oddest of the Odd, it's amazing. So Oddest of the Odd is their YouTube channel, mm-hmm. and you guys should definitely check it out. It's a lot of fun. They have horror and comedy and horror/comedy mashed together into shorts and things. And
today we're going to be talking about part two. They made a part two. The first one is like 5-6 minutes long, something like that, maybe 10 minutes, whatever the length of the trailer was, the playable trailer. And this one is like a 40-minute long short film. They're having it in a bunch of different festivals, and they're now, because there's no more story out there, they had to kind of come up with it on their own, and the process with which they did that and what they pulled up from inspirational here in the interview, and it's pretty fantastic. So yeah, that's the setup. It's just this weird movie, short film with constantly changing house and environments and perspectives, and it's just like, you know, like it's like the In the Mouth of Madness, but like their version of it with Silent Hill.
With not just Silent Hill, but a lot of other games and game theory just mashed in there for all of our nerdy adventures.
Very nerdy. So welcome and enjoy our interview with the Oddest of the Odd with Cortland and Ryan.
Thank you guys for reaching out to us, by the way.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, it was like, holy shit, they've got PT2 out.
Sweet. Yeah, we were pretty stoked to tell everyone because it's been on the back burner for such a long time, and we've been working for months and months and months on this. So
it feels like such a relief to finally just get it out and show everybody like all the hard work that we just put for this film compared to last.
Yeah.
Oh, I can imagine. Because like that first one, you just... Oh, I should introduce you guys to the people listening because we're just jumping in here.
Yeah, that's right.
So, dear listeners, we are talking to Cortland Gordon, I put a D at the end of your name there, sorry. And it's Ryan Becker, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Ryan Becker. I know because I totally was binge watching on your YouTube videos for a while there now.
There's some crazy stuff on there.
It's pretty awesome.
Because I mean, I got introduced to you guys through, I think it was IGN that put it out, mm-hmm. they were sharing the original one.
Yeah, that was huge for us. But I thought, we had a friend who told us about that. They were like, hey, you know, IGN did a... I was like, wait, who'd you say?
It was like in the middle of the night, and we were just like, what?
I said, do you understand who IGN is?
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that was pretty fantastic. I mean, I hadn't... I don't think I had really researched your channel until now. Because I said I got it through them, so they just had it built into their channel, and I was watching it through that. So yeah. I didn't realize it was I didn't know if it was something they commissioned or what, because I know they had commissioned stuff in the past, like that fake like Legend of Zelda movie trailer during like April Fools or something they had put out. So I was like, oh, did they commission something else to be created? So I had no idea that you guys were a separate YouTube channel until you guys reached out to us.
On the other side of this equation, I subscribed to your channel almost instantly because I was like, sweet, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, they actually did it. It was kind of ridiculous. They were supposed to give us all credit for it, and
yeah.
In the description, they were supposed to tag our YouTube channel, and mm-hmm. if you click the link, it took you to an error page. Yeah, so everyone was like, who are these people?
And yeah, people thought Konami took us down. It's a big... Yeah.
That's terrible. Well, yeah, so for the people listening, it's Oddest of the Odd Productions on YouTube. And everybody should go subscribe immediately because they're awesome.
And so why don't you guys introduce yourselves and just your roles with the company and how you guys got started.
Okay, well, I'm Cortland Gordon and Ryan Becker.
I'm Ryan Becker.
So I have been a filmmaker my entire life. Since I was a little kid, I've always had a camera in my hand, and my parents raised me on horror films. And I was like, you know, most parents kind of wouldn't let their kid watch that kind of stuff, but my parents encouraged it. So growing up, I, you know, film, and all of these little homemade movies and stuff. But got to the point where, you know, I figured, oh my gosh, this could be my career. So I started a company, Oddest of the Odd Productions, with the help of this guy, Ryan. I'm the director, cameraman, and I do all the editing. We're both writers.
Yeah, writer, and I just assist him in directing. whatever needs to be fulfilled, come into play.
Us two are the top dogs of it right now. We have our other roommates there. We have a makeup guy, Kyle Basley, and then we have pretty much a set runner, Ryan Kubiak. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to slowly build on that, though.
That's awesome.
And so do you guys just do screenplay writing, or do you guys do short story writing and that kind of thing, too?
Oh, short story writing pretty much we have big, like Silent Hills Part 2 was never supposed to be a thing. So we're partnered up through YouTube, and that didn't become a thing until after we released Silent Hills, the original one. We only shot that for fun because we were bored. And we started this new YouTube channel, and then it went viral, and we were trending number one on Facebook for a whole day. And so we kind of like put all of our original stuff that we write personally, you know, behind, and we took Silent Hills and we've been working on it the past 7 months. So
nice. I think it's smart to build off of like that what you had there, but I could tell from even like one of your first ones, the Closet Monster.
Yeah. That's all our stuff.
That one's awesome. Like it felt so similar in a lot of ways to your PT one, just in like some of your editing and some of like the suspense that you were building with like just the slow, painful, steady crawl.
Yep.
It feels so similar in how, like, what you brought out in PT. Like, so, even though that was your original story and PT wasn't, it seemed to, like, work in your own cinematic vocabulary.
Completely.
That one was awesome. I also liked your sequel, because that was a cool, continuation.
Trilogy, and it never ended. Silent Hills happened, so, I said, we have more stuff in store for the people who actually follow us. We have some big, big stuff coming out soon that's completely original in our stuff. So.
Nice. Fantastic. So do you guys have any formal training in film or a film school or something like that?
So growing up, I was really big into football. I was a big football star in high school and stuff. And I got to my senior year. I was known as the football filmmaker. Like, that's what I did. I was a filmmaker and I was a football star. So when college was coming around, I had to make the choice to be a football star in college or go, you know, continue with film at a film school or something. Well, everyone kind of told me that, you know, filmmaking industry is the most brutal industry out there, and don't do it, you're not going to make it. Mm-hmm. And I had football scholarships rolling in, so I ended up taking the football route for the first year.
Yeah.
And I was miserable. I was a pre-med student studying dentistry. I'm sitting in class and I'm like writing movie scripts and stuff. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like at practice. And so it evolved from there. I was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. So I ended up moving back home because I went to school 3 hours away and he was still back home. And I got together with him and we were hanging out a lot and we were going over like, you know, let's take this film thing to the next level. And so we ended up moving up to Kalamazoo, Michigan. And that's where I was going to school for a little bit, but I realized so fast that the stuff they teach you in film, like classes and stuff, you can teach yourself. I've been so self-taught since I was 7, like just watching YouTube videos, learning how to use Adobe After Effects and Premiere and cameras and stuff. Mm-hmm. So literally like everything you see is self-taught. I haven't learned one thing. Cool.
I did quite a bit of that myself, actually. We both started off in the film industry. Mm-hmm. I got a broadcasting background in broadcasting. Oh my God, I can't talk today. Broadcasting and graphic design. And Jeanette is went to school for design and theater.
I was formerly theater and set for set and costume design. So I became a production designer for a while there.
She was actually doing stuff for children's sci-fi. And I was
really terrible horror movies.
And I was just doing independent stuff in Connecticut. So, we both transitioned now to doing the blog and the podcast. We're going to be doing that full time and I'm trying to be a writer and we're both going to be putting that into the podcast as well to try to really, you know, share our work and also interview a lot of other creative content creators like yourself and try to learn from you guys and other people out there and kind of learn from each other, that kind of thing.
It's cool. I like that. Well, you got us already following you guys. So
awesome.
The funny thing about that too, we in the middle of like deciding what we want to do, we applied to the New York Film Academy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We accepted and had a scholarship and we were supposed to move to New York at first.
Yeah.
And then we were like, we can't afford to live in New York. So we looked at Burbank, California, mm-hmm. same
thing. Yeah.
So that's after that we were like, no film school, we can't afford it. So.
Yeah, I mean I went and I actually did a 12-week program at NYFA for producing. and New York Film Academy, and I was commuting before we got married.
I
was commuting from, I had my day job, my 8-hour day job, 8-hour day, and then I would go and commute for 6 hours and then do my 2-hour class and then commute back. So it was like about 6 hours of commuting per day and then my full-time job. And
not easy,
but I definitely felt like it definitely, at least doing the 12-week program, was definitely something that filled in the gap. Like, it definitely, there was like a mute, you know, and I had to take drive, train, you know, and subway. But I think it did kind of fill in some gaps for me specifically and kind of helped me, you know, on that road to try to become a better storyteller. Just like, that's one step. It wasn't the whole step. And I don't think that a full program would change my perspective on how to tell a story. But, you know, it definitely, the 12-week program was good, just at least to kind of fill in the gaps, because I had done this at broadcasting and then hands-on with a bunch of other people and kind of learning as I went. So it did to help a little bit to kind of fill in certain gaps and having conversations with the you know, professors and all that.
Yeah. And Ryan, so I wanted to hear a little bit about your background as well. Like,
okay.
Because we heard a little of everyone.
That athletic dude in high school, and I was like that weird kid in high school. Not the weird one, but like semi-weird, but it was like that weird friendship where the weird kid hangs out with like the athletic dude. Mm-hmm. And had his like athletic friends, and then he had like his weird friends. Like, that's why odd group of friends that tried to persuade him to stick with this film thing,
because
we were super good at it and we were just getting on with it. But he started off like super young, and we all grew up in the same town together in Niles, Michigan, and we all met during like youth baseball is how we all connected and we met. And him and a couple, our other buddy Jesse Roberts, they've been making films since they were little. Same with Kyle Basley, our makeup artist. And I kind of moved away across town, so I kind of like left the group for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Came back during like high school, and then we met up and started this film thing again. So that kind of kicked off after that.
So Ryan, did you have any kind of training at all, or at least a specific thing that you wanted to focus on when you were doing film?
All the training I had was from watching him.
Yeah.
Nice.
Basically, taught myself through everything. He's taught me everything. So he's kind of like my sensei.
It's something that he doesn't like to talk about, when everyone can agree with me. He's a really good actor. He can act like better than anyone I know. So he's like our go-to guy in most of our videos.
I was noticing that. You do a really good job. And again, I'm just thinking of Monster, or Closet Monster, rather, because it's just like, that's an intense short.
Yeah, it is. I really enjoy that one. It's a good old classic.
Yeah.
So what really is your inspiration as a storyteller? Like, what are you pulling from? Is it just from film, or is it from books, comic books, television? Like, what's your main pull there? What really... let's say the first thing you ingested media-wise that really kind of got you going and wanted to get you excited to tell stories of your own?
Filmmaking, 100%. We're like the biggest movie buffs like on Earth.
We will go watch movies and then come out of like movie and be like, oh my God, we got to make something. We got to make something great. That just grasped us, and we want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
We want people the same reaction to what we get from watching great movies.
Sure.
But with that said, too, I mean, we both read comic books.
Yeah.
We both play video. I mean, we used to play a lot of video games back in the day. We're not really big into video games, but clearly, you know, we should be.
You have a market there.
And so who does your music, your audio, sound design, all that kind of stuff?
I do all that.
Wow.
Nice job.
Nice.
Did you just point at him with the fetus from your trailer?
Mormon fetus is what we call them.
I have a weird like problem with like having stuff in my hands I forget about all the time.
Sorry to the people who listen to this as a podcast, because that was amazing.
And it's also the shape of it that was confusing.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Well, I recognized it immediately. You guys did a really good job with, as a production designer, I was like, oh, they're spot on with their art direction here. Because, mm-hmm. like, matching the PT, first off, was done really, really well with all the photos and everything. But I also liked how you had little nods to your own shows in there, like, especially in the second version, like the shotgun shells and stuff. Like, that was fun.
Yeah, we do that a lot. Like, we have another video called, like, Roommate Problems, and we reference PT a lot in it.
Yeah.
I think the thing we laughed at the most was at the very beginning of it, where like you're panning around, and all of a sudden you look down and it says, you know, "Fuck you, Konami," because it's like at first it's like you think it's like a personal message to the character. Like, it's like, fuck you or whatever. And then you're like, because I'm focusing on that word. And then I look down like Konami and it's like, yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was inspired by Del Toro for sure.
Yeah.
We saw him tweeting, fuck you, Konami. Like,
yeah.
He's like, just, you know, playing about it. Like, so.
Yeah. I don't think they really understood the creative end. Because I know they went and started making like pachinko machines and stuff like that after.
Yeah.
They started trying to cut down their AAA titles to almost nothing now.
So to see all that happen. But it's awesome to see Kojima Productions like just rising. Like, and they haven't even released anything yet.
Yeah.
So.
I hope they do something with the Castlevania brand, because that makes me sad if they don't touch it ever again.
Yeah, me and my brother used to be into that series. Oh, the first one anyways.
And it's one of the few games I really like. When I grab it day one and I just devour it, you know. It's one of those kind of games. Whenever the new one, you don't see me for a while until I finish every single thing I can in the game.
That's awesome.
So, like, it just was sad because I really did enjoy the Lord of Shadows, the first one. That was really a cool game. But I think the studio got really over heavy handed with the second one, and it was just a big mess. So
yeah. I didn't really honestly know much about Hideo until like PT came out.
Yeah.
And the only reason it caught my attention was because I saw Del Toro's name and Reedus is on it. And then I started reading. Then I was like, oh my gosh, he made, you know, Metal Gear. You know, he's like, I just realized all the stuff. Like, he's like a gaming master.
Yeah. Yeah. He is pretty fantastic. He's like, you know, a Van Gogh of video games. You know, it's like somebody who's just, yeah.
Yeah.
Really prolific at what they do, and they're just a master at it. I mean, the Metal Gear games alone, because of the massive amount of storytelling and action and little things that are going on constantly in those games that he has to kind of manage in his head of how that shot's going to happen and how the story's going to progress. And it's just a lot to ingest. And he's definitely a master creator of amazing video games and just an amazing, you know, creative person.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So that's cool that you guys got inspired by PT to recreate it. And so why don't you guys tell us a little bit about the process of which kind of like recreating it. Because I see a lot of graphic design. You have photos in there and a lot of props and things that you guys created. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the process that you guys went into to actually match those things one-to-one.
A lot of studying. We watched IGN's walkthrough about, I don't know how many times, a lot.
We sat down on the couch and up here. I mean, every day, just watching video breakdowns, writing anything and everything we could see that was on video, like anything on the table. If it was a cigarette butt, I mean, just anything
that we can get and that we could like on a low budget, because that was made by zero budget at all.
We're broke college students,
so like, you see from this video that we can get our hands on, we're gonna get. So we would just be like, all right, we need that. We need this pictures that we can get off the internet. That we can just print off real fast and put them up.
Mm-hmm.
We started going from there, and then like watching, breaking down every single loop and how we could do it. Cause a lot of people in the first one noticed that we didn't do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So we did all the ones that we could do, like, you know, with that budget.
Yeah.
We would know that would look good if we did it.
Well, and I noticed that with your second round that you were on those pass-throughs, you added in more of the details from the PT, which I thought was really just, like, on the note, it was pretty good.
Back about the first one, too.
Yeah.
The only people who worked on it was me and him.
Yeah.
No one else helped us. And then we had my girlfriend played Lisa, and then my older brother played Pyramid Head. Other than that, we were the only two. We had triple the amount of help on the second one, of course.
Which is so much better when you're trying to make anything.
Just even just having, like, I mean, of course they didn't do all the, like, the editing and camera work or anything, but they were, like, actually help.
Like, set up like, everything. Make the whole process actors. So much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the camera setup? How is that for the first person?
Oh, yeah. I'm terribly curious.
So, like, the first, do you have it? Is it over there? Yeah, we can grab that real quick.
Yeah.
So the very first one, so we turned to DSLRs.
Yeah.
I didn't even know these people shot movies with these.
Mm-hmm.
And right when we got this, we got a Canon T5i Rebel. we were like experimenting with it, and Silent Hills was like the first time we used it. So what I did was I just held it and flashlight, and I just walked around and did whatever, you know. And then the piece. And then for the second one, we were like, you know, you can kind of tell I'm holding a camera. Well, to me, anyways, in the first one. So we're like, how are we gonna do?
Get this nifty shoulder mount.
Nice.
I was like, how can we show both hands? Because I'm gonna show me doing stuff and getting thrown around, and you know.
So how did you do focus for that?
Oh, most of the time it was manual. I'll just like every once in a while, I just would. I'd have the screen right in front of my face, and I would just, you know, turn the dial. But there were some shots I had to have it on autofocus. So
yeah, that makes sense. That was a lot of movement to juggle all of, like, and then a flashlight at the same time for most of it.
Another thing too, a lot of the shots, so like Silent Hills 1, they both kind of look fluent, like it's one big shot. Silent Hills 2 probably has 1,000 different shots.
Yeah, I just had to
mesh them together and make it look like it was one fluid motion.
It gets harder to film when I'm short and he's a lot taller. So the scenes that he couldn't film and was acting, I'm going through filming. So the height difference, that's what I was worried that people were going to notice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I took that in place, so that's good.
It's kind of harder to tell in first person. I think any, even like in a video game in first person, it's almost kind of hard to tell the height difference. Unless there's an extreme amount of height. What's like the height difference between you guys?
I'm so short, dude. I'm like 5'4".
He's a hobbit. I'm like 5'10". He's like 5'4".
Yeah.
So it's like a 6-inch difference, but I don't think in video in first person, it's really kind of hard to tell those things.
No, it just felt so much different,
like, in a way.
Oh, sure. You know, but I think that every time you guys do any kind of a cut, especially towards the end where there's actual physical cutting that we can see, it's so jarring and from one to one, I think that kind of maybe added to the tension and atmosphere that all of a sudden, like, why is the perspective different slightly? You know, what's going on? And it kind of, you know, upped the ante, if you will, just to kind of like ratchet it up a little bit. But so what film in particular do you think really...
I have a question.
Okay, I'm sorry. Jeanette wants to ask a question.
Because, like, you guys were writing and creating stories and short films even before your video went viral. And I'm just curious, like, how has your PT trailer and your PT 2 affected the storytelling that you're doing now? Have you really changed your stories, or have you worked with it?
Not so much. I mean, every now and again, we'll go back and, like, tweak it to see if we can make it better. But, after releasing part 2, it gives me hope that we know what our film is going to look like, all these other films, and hopes of it, how it's the quality and the camera work and everything. That's our focus right now on how it's going to be shot.
Well, not even that. I feel like doing Silent Hills part 2 kind of made us realize how much detail like we need to put into our films, and even if it's just the littlest thing. Yeah. So like we have like some big films we've been working on for years, the just movie scripts that are ready to be made that are 10 times better than what Silent Hills Part 2 is. And I think Silent Hills Part 2 is pretty much Christopher Nolan mind, you know what I'm saying? It's a mind fucking movie. So
it was, I kept thinking the word cognitive dissonance as I watched it. And I don't know why, but that's exactly what kept popping in my head. I'm like, this is so disturbing.
So, I mean, yes and no. This making Silent Hills Part 2, we really stepped our game up, like 100%. And I think it's going to affect our writing in the future, for sure.
I think the fans had a lot to do with it, too. It, like, motivated us to make it as best as we could, because we had all this support.
Mm-hmm.
Reading through the comments, like, I do that for a while, just going back and reading all the comments from the first one. It really, like, motivated, like, me to motivate him to, like, push ourselves, you know, to make this absolutely amazing in our eyes, so we know, like, how people are going to react to it and respond to it.
Yeah, and I think that the, I think because of the fact that it has very little dialogue, it's like when you're watching, let's say, a really cool foreign film, right? There's one I remember I watched on Netflix called The Baby's Room. It's a Spanish horror film, and it had very little dialogue. It was very much about the atmosphere and the imagery and the camera moves and all this type of, and the story, without a lot of dialogue. So I feel like when you strip something down to very much just the atmosphere and remove all the dialogue, and you know that's working, then you know that's solid and you can move on and figure out how do you do the same thing, like go through with a scalpel on the dialogue and say, okay, let's strip this down and with very little words say something really powerful, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
I did like the fact that you, in the first version, you were just very, very silent, just like the actual playthrough was. And then this time, you allowed, like, as if I was playing the game, as if this were the game, and you said all the things that I would do, like, fuck, and just,
In real horror films, when, like, you know, like, okay, like, that's how I would react, but this guy's completely reacting. And I made sure that's funny that you brought that up, because I made sure I wanted to, like, really, like, bring, like, in real life, you know, Silent Hills, this is what you, like, you know, if you see a door open by itself, you're gonna be like, fuck, like, I don't want to go in there.
Like, there's a couple of parts where, like, we were both, like, I think it created tension. It's one of those things where the character...
black screens.
Okay.
Just, like, cutting away to black so often, I was just like, I don't know what's there. I'm very uncomfortable. Well,
it's almost like in a horror movie where you expect the protagonist to do something or you want them to do something and then they don't do it and you're just like freaking out because you're waiting. Like when the character falls down in PT2 and then he's looking at the feet of the woman and like that trail of blood and the umbilical cord or whatever. Yeah. And he's looking at it and you're like, well, he's following the umbilical cord, but like, why isn't he looking up? And it created a lot of tension, which was excellent. You know,
we actually shot that twice. We shot a month before, and that's what I did. I looked up before, and it didn't feel too, like, it was scary still, but it was like, you know what's coming.
Yeah.
But, and that's what you would do in real life. But for this certain scene, I was like, I have to like make people just like, you know, sit on the edge of their seat for this.
But a second ago behind you was the tree scene from Evil Dead. Just while we were talking about that, so
that's when you're speaking inspiration. That's another thing that we come from inspiration.
Yeah,
Sam Raimi,
sure,
got to us.
That scene was inspired by the tree rape scene,
and which is now happening. What just happened behind you? So like,
that is really weird.
Which is pretty fantastic. I was like, we're talking about this, and it's just happening right now. Like, have you guys seen Night of the Demons Part 2 with the lipstick scene? You guys seen that?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, Night of the Demon. That used to be my jazz back when I was younger.
Yeah. It was a very similar thing with like the lipstick grew into a long thing, and then also it's going up her leg, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh my.
I mean, yours was definitely a simpler version of that because you're just kind of just pulling it away, but it's almost like a reverse yo-yo when it just like goes and disappears off the dress.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's awesome.
I just really appreciated Jeanette's reaction to that. When the thing went up her dress, I was just like, I looked over at her and I just got a kick out of her reaction to it.
It was just like full body cringe.
Nice. I love making movies, but there ain't no better feeling. Like, it's awesome accomplishing a movie, but excitement to like watch people's reactions to like what we make is the greatest thing. So I already know that feeling just by watching the countless reaction videos we've already had from this one, and we've had hundreds for the first one. So
awesome. The story that you put into PT2.
Yeah, all right.
Should we talk about it? Because I feel like that's the point of this podcast. We're just like enjoying geeking out.
Hey, we're yeah, this is flying by the seat of our pants here. It's fine.
So, this is like express. So take your time.
I would like to talk about the story that you injected into those little clues. Like, which clues did you really like latch onto to build the story that came out in PT2?
So it all started like when we first started writing Silent Hills Part 2. Months, like, right, it was pretty much a month after we released the first one, because everyone's like, give us part two or another one. And I was like, where do we start? Like, we actually went further than where the game ended with, in the school with Pyramid Head, but
which pissed some people off. And then,
but that's why, and this is another, like, it changed kind of the way we wrote. People were pissed off. They're like, Pyramid Head belongs to Silent Hills Part 2. And I understand that. And that's why we incorporated, you know, all right, we can't ruin this because this is for the fans and for Silent Hill fans. So, if we're going to have Pyramid Head, who else do we have to have? James Sunderland from the original game. So we made sure that was like our first like go-to. It was like, all right, we're going to play off James. So we went back and we researched Silent Hills 2 because I played that when I was a little kid. I mean, I'm only 22, so it was a while ago.
Yeah.
And so we went off anything and everything that we can grab from James, like his story, his wife.
Yep.
The armless creature that's in the video.
Yeah.
And then we were like, we need to, like, I don't want to just remake Silent Hills 2. We need to, like, make our own story. So with Death Stranding coming out and all the different clues from there, I don't know if you guys saw some of the stuff we put in Silent Hills 2, but there's a lot of Death Stranding stuff if you look real closely. Like, stuff we had personally made from Death Stranding.
Yeah.
And we took some elements where, like, because there was a theory going around saying that Death Stranding, like, when they released the first trailer, that it could be Silent Hills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, we kind of wanted to play off that. Like, what if it was? And we kind of knew deep down it wasn't Silent Hills, but yeah. We were like, Kojima's the master at, you know, fooling people. So let's fool them.
Yep.
So pretty much we start with James and then took Death Stranding and kind of just clumped a story in between the two to bring them into Silent Hills PT.
Yeah.
So we had Elise in the loop because that's what, you know, it was about. So we kind of just mixed those three elements, James, or it was Silent Hills 2, Silent Hills PT, and then Death Stranding.
That's nice. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I do like how with your main character, how it went from him being like just so lost and like just a victim of the experience to holy shit. Like, you started this, buddy.
That was the other thing. We wanted to make sure that it didn't mainly just take place in the house.
Yeah.
We got to expand this. We got to go through like different realities to make it like people are like, holy shit, we didn't expect him to go to a cornfield, we didn't expect him to go to the woods.
Yeah, I feel like that really caught people off guard. I don't think they're gonna take it that far.
And I do kind of wonder where it's gonna go, but like I know even from playing the PT trailer, the playable trailer of PT, that and what you guys put into the actual video, that it kind of gave me a vibe of Halloween Season of the Witch. You know, with like the subliminal messaging, and then there's some kind of bigger corporation or somebody behind something that's doing something. And, you know, where would you go with that? You know, I feel like because it wasn't fully created, it wasn't put out there. I mean, I know Hideo would probably have a full idea of what he wanted in the complete project. But since you don't have that, you have free reign to kind of do whatever you want with it. You know,
that was the fun part about it, because we were like, you know, let's create something that's never been created, but using elements from something that's already been created. And we kind of let the reason. So we already, part three will be happening for everyone who's wondering, just not for a while. We're going to kind of work on some other stuff and get a higher budget, better camera stuff and better locations. So, but the fun thing about that is we know what's behind it. Like, we didn't just make this, you know, like to leave everyone hanging, including ourselves. We know what's behind everything, but you won't find out to the very end of part three, probably. Yeah. But we wanted to make it to where, like, you had to, like, there's so many different things it could be. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you said, the subliminal messages. I put stuff in there that completely give it away, but I'm telling you right now, probably no one will see it until I release part three.
And what made you guys want to go with a much larger, much longer piece this time around?
The story, it's just we had to get like what as much as we could out, but because if you leave too little, then you have all these questions. But we want just enough, and we felt that was just enough to leave people okay, they have something that they can go off of, not just the house and the continuous loop, but there's more to it from this.
It was originally not supposed to be this long.
Yeah.
Like this was supposed to be out in June.
Yeah.
And then it got pushed back to Halloween, and then it got pushed back to
all this stuff started coming out, like more Death Stranding stuff, and then we read more articles, and then we come back to the script and be like, okay, we got to add this, we got to add
that.
Yeah,
the story evolved along with the gaming community.
Mm-hmm.
So and that was pretty neat to see, too. And at one point, we were like, we have to stop. We can't keep adding more stuff.
Yeah. That's the tough part, you know. It's pretty awesome, and it just like we were always wondering what's going to happen, what's around the next corner, and then when he, you know, he's in the cornfield, and then he comes back, and then there's like elements of corn in the house, and you're like,
that made me laugh, like in a just excited way. You guys put so many just like delicious little details everywhere that like spliced into other
and perspective changes and stuff that really threw the viewer off, that you're constantly trying to you're in that same, you know, seat, you're in the driver's seat, you're kind of like, you know, in that same position. Like, it's almost like having a dream and you have no real direct control of what's happening. You're just kind of watching it.
Exactly. That's awesome to hear from other perspectives. So
we see it probably because we hope for things like that when we watch film.
Like, yeah.
Keep sliding.
You're going to have to adjust the actual. Hold on. While. 1 second here. I'm going to fix this young lady's blank.
That's something I'm really bad at, too. I'm all about originality, and I hate copying other stuff. And it already hurts that I have to make a film that's, you know, created by someone, or like Silent Hill is a thing.
Yeah.
I'm usually completely against that. Everything we make, I try to be as original as possible. But I mean, I think we completely put our own originality into it, with especially part two.
Definitely.
So I'm proud of that. So.
So in some of your more original writing, your story, your films and stuff, what's a theme you like to explore a lot in your various stories?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yay! That's because I'm not bending over.
Or in comedy. I mean, he's strictly horror, and I'm the comedy side. That,
well, I'm huge into being mind fucked, mentally, physically. But I'm a huge fan of Christopher Nolan, and like, I'm a like, no matter what movie, I don't even need to see a trailer. I can just walk into a movie and be like, if it's Christopher Nolan, I'm watching it. But I feel like no one out there takes horror. I mean, there are some people. M. Night Shyamalan, no one's a big fan of him, but I really appreciate the way he writes. Mm-hmm. I feel like he really tries to like bend the mind and stuff. And I really want to do that with horror and like mystery and thriller, but like horror with the element of being just mind blown is like where I really stand. And then these guys, like he said, they're all in the comedy, so like a lot of our YouTube videos will mix the two in. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys know who they are. We're big fans of Raka Raka.
I need to look up Raka Raka.
Yeah, if you watch Raka Raka, they will. You'll see exactly where like our crazy comedy videos come from.
Nice.
And the YouTube flew us out to VidCon for an all exclusive trip, so we got to hang out with them and meet them, and we're like pretty good friends with them now. So we're always like communicating. They're always giving us tips and stuff. So it's pretty sweet.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
How was VidCon?
Huh?
How'd you like VidCon?
Oh, it was insane. It was so crazy.
It's a lot of people, a lot of fangirls.
Nice.
Yeah, there wasn't too many, like, I mean, YouTube is very like, you know, there's a lot of different categories of what people. And a lot of VidCon is more like, I don't even really know how to explain. Like, there's not many filmmakers there, and that's what we are. We're filmmakers.
More bloggers on the list. Yeah. Bloggers and pranksters.
But it was so cool. Like, if you guys ever get the chance to go, definitely go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have more questions, Alex?
I definitely wanted to say that the visit from M. Night Shyamalan was actually kind of a return to form for me, as far as watching his work, to see him come back to a place where he felt completely in control, and you know, something that he really was working the audience. You know, I think some of the other films, I don't think he was as into really kind of figuring out how people are going to react to certain things or how they're going to connect to it as an audience member. And then that particular film, The Visit, for me, felt like something as a return to form for him, where he was completely in control of how he's manipulating the audience. How can he mess with the audience? How can he draw them in one direction and take them somewhere else constantly, not just for the ending of the film, but throughout the film?
No, completely. And I completely agree with that. I think he got off, you know, he got off track for a while, and then he just got right back on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The movie that's coming out looks insane. What is it called? The one with, Xavier. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Split.
Split.
Oh. Yeah.
You guys for that?
I heard of that. Yep.
It looks really good. Really, really good. So,
there's some good ones coming out lately.
Yeah. Although, we've been so busy making our own movies, we don't like have time to go see movies now. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. Understandably. Netflix is still my best friend as far as actually seeing movies.
Yeah.
No. I did go see Rogue One like 3 times already, so.
Is it good?
I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
It's
gonna. So I'm just gonna spoil one little tiny thing.
Don't
is it?
Spoil
just
it.
One little thing.
Shut your mouth.
It doesn't have a crawl. It doesn't have a traditional Star Wars crawl in the beginning.
Okay.
And so I was just sitting there, and then and then it happened, and then this guy next to me just like, what the fuck?
Because they didn't do the crawl.
That would piss me off too for a split second. Without seeing the movie, of course.
Yeah. So it's the first. It's because it's not a numbered film. Yeah. It's the first one. It doesn't have a crawl.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it's just the title, and that you just get started with the film. It's not like a spoiler for the story for anybody out there. I'll preface that in the notes below. But it's just one little thing that I just thought was hilarious is to see people's funny reactions to things.
You were just pissed off immediately.
And if you guys are big Star Wars fans, the ending of the film is pretty epic.
And that is all we'll say because you deserve to experience it.
No, I plan to go see it sometime during when we go home for Christmas. So. Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to maybe make a little vocal. It's like it's not a real spoiler. It's like, or maybe I'll just cut it out of the show just so they don't piss anybody off.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a really good year for films and a lot of great horror films coming out. And I'm excited to see more cerebral horror films, not just about the graphic violence, but about storytelling and atmosphere. And that's been really excellent.
Yeah, that's something we strive to bring to. Just the film industry in general. I feel like that relaxed in the horror, side of film. But we want to change our overall goal. We want to change the face of horror in Hollywood. I feel like Hollywood does nothing but shit on horror films.
Yes.
they ruin them just by the classic, cliche, same shit every time you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Or for example, have you seen the trailer for The Mummy yet? The new redo.
And I'm such a big fan of the original Mummy, even number two. And seeing that, I bit my tongue and I just turned it off. I was like, I'm not even gonna waste my time with it.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous for this new. I'm a little nervous for the new Amityville film that's coming out next year.
Yeah. Reckoning or whatever.
Yeah, because it has kind of like a generic setup. Hey, I'm in a new town. I hate, my new friends and whatever. I'm going to high school and I'm angry. It's kind of this, generic setup. Yeah. For the film. So I'm hoping the film kind of does deliver in some way. It has a little bit of a vibe of Pet Sematary when I'm watching it.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
So I'm interested.
No.
What's that?
I don't think... It's not James Wan, is it?
It's from the producers that made those films, but I don't know if James Wan is involved.
Because if he was involved, I'd be all for it. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of James Wan. I think he's one of the only people in that can make that genre decent. So
he is working very hard to bring some new blood into it, just some new.
Yes, very hard.
But we'll send you guys a little write up, Q&A thing. In case we missed anything, we'll send you guys a little write-up Q&A thing for the blog so we can be a little more thorough and focused.
And
that'd be good.
Yeah, if you have a story.
Too, so, like when we get hit with questions, we're like, oh, man, like, we should have said more, but we're working on it.
I feel like we get overexcited about this kind of stuff, like talking to people.
Yeah.
And we just kind of ramble on about random shit.
Yeah.
So.
I'm only hearing half what he's saying, but it's better that way because it's just like the animated cartoon thing. But yeah, we'll send you guys a little homework assignment and you guys can kind of like think about a little bit more about certain things if you guys want to, reference a specific thing that kind of inspired you guys, an image, a sound effect, a film, a movie, or a show, anything that really kind of inspired you guys. I'll send it out. I mean for me personally it was like Close Encounters and Star Wars,
Close Encounters, all-time favorites.
Yeah
definitely. That got my brain on fire. I mean, I was already kind of like a daydreamer kid that just wouldn't turn it off, and then I watched those things and it just set my mind in the overdrive. So
we're really bad at like watching movies like over and over and over because we don't watch them, we study them. Like
uh-huh.
Films down to sound effects, music, I mean, just anything and everything. Like, we'll watch, most people, in the world don't watch a movie more than one time. And I've probably seen the Evil Dead trilogy plus the remake probably 10,000 times.
Yeah, well, I'll go into his room, I'll be like, where the hell is that movie at? It's been missing for like a week or so. And I hear it every night across all my, God, he's watching Evil Dead again, watching Evil Dead again.
But that's how you study. Like, that's how you learn, is just to, the first time you watch it, you experience it and you're like, wow, that was a great movie. And then the next time you start to pay more attention. The time after that, you're like, wait, how did they edit that together? And then where did that handprint go from being sprayed on the wall to digital, for example?
That was such a tough scene to do.
Oh my God. And that's the thing. We live in an apartment complex.
Yeah. We're like, all of our movies happen like in this building. Like, because we live in a college town in a college townhouse.
And we'll destroy this place for a scene, and then, like, right afterwards, we got to clean it up real fast and get to the next one.
We buy new doors all the time. Oh, man. We break shit.
That's the hardest part.
We're not getting our deposit back, that's for sure.
That's excellent.
I was very amused seeing. I was actually thinking about that, because I think about these things as a production background. It's like, oh, they totally just sprayed those handprints on. It looked great, by the way. And I'm like, cleanup's gonna be a mess.
About those handprints, we're like, you know, they should just wipe right off. We'll just bleach them or something. No, it didn't come off at all. We had to repaint the wall.
Right in the middle of, like, the next day, we had to film something. Like, it was the only day to film it, and I was like, we got to paint this wall. So we have to let this dry, and I was like, oh, is this nerve wracking just to have everything? Yeah.
What did you guys paint with? What was the actual paint?
The handprints.
Yeah.
I think it was just regular Halloween hairspray. Yeah, that's why we thought it would come off really easily.
Yeah.
You know, we're and then, nope. You know, come to find out, no, the walls, the paint that they use on these walls here are like cheap paint, but it it doesn't come like it, like whatever touches it, like sticks to it.
It's
like
very absorbent.
You could scratch and it'll leave a giant ass mark. So if you guys all watch our Odyssey Odd videos, you're gonna be like, oh, holy fuck.
Next people that are gonna live here, they're gonna be like, what in the hell happened?
I'll tell you what, there is dried blood, fake blood. If you like, you'll be opening up a cupboard to grab paint out, and it'll just be blood everywhere.
Got that in the last video, but no, it's everywhere. It's on the stove. It's just like little specks. You're like, I thought I cleaned that.
It's like a CSI crime scene, or like a follow the clues.
We actually had a cop in here one time when we were filming, and it was for something completely different. And he walked in on a scene of me standing over Cortland here, the slit throat scene, and this cop just watching us do it. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. He was out of the blue, just standing there in the corner, just watching us film this scene. And I didn't know he was there for a second. He just walked up the steps. So our roommate was talking to him, and he was like, any other normal person, it had been like a completely different outcome, but he's just like, okay.
Good job, guys.
So the refrigerator scene that was in the woods and stuff, we like that refrigerator, we had to bring it back. So we shot that like an hour away from us, and we brought it back to our apartment complex, and we're like, fuck, we're not gonna leave this in our house. So we, you know, the community dumpsters, we wheeled it over there, but we left the blood on it. It was still, and that fucker sat out there for like a month. And I was like, everyone, I live like right out my window, so I can see the trash cans over there. And I just see people taking the trash, but then they'd stop and they'd stare at the trash or the refrigerator, because it was just sitting in there. And every time the trash people came, they wouldn't take it. So the people would see him turn right around and walk the other way.
Some cop will walk by. He'll figure it out.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's like a Cracker Jack box.
What prizes inside this one? Do you
want to
know? I don't know.
That's excellent.
Amazing. So, where can people find you online, my guys?
Odyssey of the Odd. YouTube, Odyssey of the Odd.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only place other than our social media.
And then we have a Facebook production page that was just made a couple days ago. I believe that's just still facebook.com/Odyssey of the Odd.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep, and then Odyssey Odd on Instagram, and then Odyssey Odd Twitter.
Nice.
So it's just Odyssey the Odd. There's nothing like space or weird.
There's no like weird other names for us. So just if you guys look up Odyssey Odd, you'll find us pretty much on anything and everything.
Yeah, you definitely are the first thing that pops up when we started typing it in on YouTube. So
I got to the end of Oddest and YouTube, and Google's like, "You want Oddest of the Odd, right?" I'm like, "Why? Well, yes, I do. Thanks, Google."
We feel so. Like, I don't even need to do anything else. Google knows who we are.
Google knows. You're good. Just keep making awesome films and writing stories.
And now a short story from Cortland Gordon of The Oddest of the Odd. It's called Pilferage. It's also known as Lights Off and Headphones In. Putting the car in park, I realize just how late it is. I let out a huge yawn. It's very late and I'm ready to go home. Overthinking can really wear a person out. The clock on the car radio ticks to 3 a.m. I'm on time as usual. Having to park on the side of the road can be a real bitch sometimes. The neighbors on this block really love to take up space. I exit my car and walk up to the beautiful Victorian house, which makes me remember my childhood. Except my childhood wasn't as beautiful. The house looks so lonely with all the lights off. My family was never home. They always left me alone, so I'm used to this. When I get inside, I go to the fridge and grab a cold beer. Quietly, I move around the kitchen, set my beer down, and take off my winter gloves. As I'm doing so, I hear someone walking on the floor above me. Following the sound with my flashlight, I start to panic. The sound stops. I move towards the back door and find it open. The wind blows the door back and forth, creaking noisily. As I go to shut it, I step on some glass, which is lying on the ground. The window on the door is shattered, and there's little footprints in the snow leading outside. There's also what looks to be drops of blood on the ground. This sends a chill down my spine. Peeking my head outside, I see no one. The sound of a child laughing erupts behind me. I turn in fear and start to shake. Lighting my way with a flashlight, I slowly step towards the sound. I arrive back in the kitchen where I find my beer spilled all over the floor, and there's a trail of blood leading into the next room. As I get closer to the living room, I look over to my left, noticing the door leading to the basement is now open. There's more blood in front of the stairs, and I really start to panic now. Opening the door all of the way lets out an eerie creak. Shining my light down there, I see no one. Using the last bit of courage left in me, I make my way down the steps into the basement. I get about halfway down with all of a sudden another child's laugh echoes behind me. I turn as fast as I can, and I see a quick glimpse of a small boy before he slams the basement door shut. I freeze. I hear the sound running up the stairs above me, little footsteps in a panic. At this point, I don't know what to do. Any normal person would leave, right? Catching my breath, I go up the stairs. I creak the door open slowly to make sure no one is at the top waiting for me. I'm looking back and forth towards the back door, debating on whether or not to run. The living room light is on this time, which tells me I am not hallucinating. I decide to investigate. I turn the light off and use my flashlight to find my way to the stairs that lead up to the second story. I slowly make my way up the stairs, checking every nook and cranny as I go. There seems to be no little child anywhere. One of the doors of the second bedroom is cracked open. I take a few steps towards it, and slowly and quietly I open it, revealing a child's room. I stand there confused. Bam! I fall to the ground. Ears ringing and vision blurry. Blood starts rushing from my chest. I roll over to find a man and a woman standing there, staring down at me. From behind them, a child watches. He stares at me from between their legs. The man is pointing a shotgun directly at me, and the woman is panicking on the phone. Her voice slowly manifests in my ringing ears. She's describing me to the police. She picks her child up and runs into the back room. With my vision going in and out, I realize I'm dying.
Slowly gasping for air, I look over to my right and find a mirror. The last thing I can see is my idiotic self with a cheap ski mask covering my face. The only thought that comes to me is, was it worth it? Thank you so much for listening to this story, Pilferage, also known as Lights Off and Headphones In, from Cortland Gordon of The Oddest of the Odd. You can check out more of their work over at their YouTube channel, The Oddest of the Odd. Links to this will be in the show notes. You can check out their newest short, which is Lights Off and Headphones In on YouTube, on their Oddest of the Odd YouTube channel, and also all of their awesome videos, including PT in Real Life and PT in Real Life Part 2. Both are fantastic if you love horror. They're just really, really well done and well shot and edited. They're really creepy and a lot of fun. And I'm just so overwhelmed with how amazing these guys are for guys that just learned this on their own. None of them went to school for any of this, and they just kind of learned it on their own, and they're just doing fantastic work. So please go over and check out their stuff. It's really, really excellent. And thank you so much for listening.
Night Story has been brought to you by Rode Microphones. Why? Because that's how you can hear us now. And why?
That was the best. Thank you so much. Our sponsor, Rode Microphones, providing these Rode Procasters. They have a great lineup of all sorts of audio things for your needs. And that's not English either.
English are good here.
We sound good, but we're not very good. So thank you, Rode Microphone, for providing these excellent microphones. We will try to be more
articulate
words. You love that, right? Everybody does.
Rode microphones, making idiots sound awesome.
We may suck, but we sound good doing it.
Don't fuck it up. Fuck it up. This has been the Night Story. In case you wanted to hear Alex sniffle his nose some more.
Go ahead. Do it again.
This has been the Ninth Story. Thank you for listening, and in case you forgot where you were listening or subscribing to, that is Stitcher or iTunes, or you can listen to us on www.ninthstory.com. That's the number 9thstory.com. And if you want to talk to me, you can find me, Jeanette Andromeda, on Twitter at horror_made.
And you can find me, Immortal Alexander, at HTVImmortal.
And you can find both of us on facebook.com/ninthstory.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you in your nightmares. I don't know. What do you want to say?
I don't like to see you in our nightmares. No. That was Watch Us Die.
Make sure you're wearing pants.
Pants are not necessary to writing stories, nor listening to podcasts. You know what? Stay creative, my friends.
Thanks, guys.